This morning we're going to continue our study in, with the idea of evangelism. If you remember from last week, we looked at the need to evangelize the world, that without Jesus the world is lost. Jesus said, if you do not believe that I am the one who I claim to be, you will die in your sins. And so the idea that the world will die in its sins without Christ. This morning we're going to talk about the urgency of evangelism, that we need to get the message out now. Most Americans, if you go through and ask them, they know quite a bit about Jesus. When we talk about getting the message out, we're not just telling people about Jesus, because most people, at least in this country, have heard about Jesus. As we talked a few weeks back, when you look at the incarnation of Christ, you'll find out that roughly 80% of Americans believe in the virgin birth of Jesus Christ. And almost the same amount believe in his resurrection. So if 75 to 80% of the people believe in what we might call the very fundamentals of what Jesus is, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his virgin birth, what do we tell them about Jesus? How do we make him relevant? Because so many Americans don't see that Jesus is relevant in their lives. We pretty much live in a society today that sort of like, I'm okay, you're okay. I'm doing all right, you're doing all right, we're pretty good people, and that's sort of the way we live. We don't really need anything more, that we're just sort of, I'm okay, you're okay kind of thing. And you're free to do and believe what you want, and I can do and believe what I want, and we should just accept each other. Everything's all right. That's the kind of society we live into. And so we have to think about, how do we make Jesus relevant today? Let me ask you a question. What separates us from the animals? We look at the animal kingdom around us. What's different about mankind than animals? Than the rest of the creation? You think about the animal kingdom, and there's a number of things that are just different between mankind and animals. And one of these is what we talked about 2 weeks ago, the hope for a future. Animals don't worry about the future. They worry about their food and their security right now. But men, women, people worry about the future. We have a hope for the future. We want the future to be a certain way. And we think about the future. We think about our own lives and the purpose of our lives. We think about our lives being significant or not being significant, and that bothers us. We want to make a difference. Everybody does. We think about our lives and we think about guilt. Animals don't feel guilt, but people do, and people seek forgiveness. These are what separate us and make us who we are. We thought talking about forgiveness. We think about purpose in our lives. We think about significance. We talk about a hope for the future. These are the things that make Christ relevant today, just as he's always been relevant throughout history, because these are the things that people need in their lives. People are not just after food and clothing and just the staples. We want to have purpose in our lives. We want our lives to be significant. We think about the future, and we have a hope for the future. And we have guilt in our lives, and we need forgiveness. And this is what Christ brings us, and is why he's just as relevant now as he's always been. If you've got a Bible, look over to Isaiah 55. There's two basic scriptures we're going to take a look at today. And remember, our basic theme is the urgency of evangelism today in our lives. If you look over to Isaiah, the passage I just read, look at the very first part of it. Isaiah 55 and verse 6. He says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Now that passage is a very simple passage, but it has a profound thought for us. Seek the Lord while he may be found. In other words, there's a time when God cannot be found. There's a time when God is near to us and he is available to us, but there's a time when he will not be available to us. And we have to think about our opportunities and the urgency in our lives and the lives around us. People go through their lives, and most of us are very resistant to change. We like things to stay the same way that they are. But there are certain times in our lives where we're susceptible to change. when things happen in our lives, maybe a death of a loved one or a change in our jobs, some major event happens, and certainly the door is open in our lives so that we can accept some change. If we introduce Christ to people at that time, then they're able to hear it. The door is open. But that door is not going to be open for very long, and people go back to their normal way, and they're no longer able. So there's an urgency for our part to bring Christ to people when they're able to listen to Him. And in ourselves, we have that opportunity. And so Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found, when He's available. Because He may not always be available for us. And He's not always available for those that we know, our friends, our neighbors, that we want to take Jesus to, that we plan on someday talking to them about Christ, but we put it off. And we don't. We think, well, we can do it next week, or maybe a time will be better later on. And we don't think about, when is the right time? We may not even know when it is. Like the sower that sows the seed, and he sows the seed everywhere. He doesn't know which seed's going to grow, but he feels the urgency to sow the seed while he has the time, while the door is open. Look over to Matthew chapter 21. Matthew 21, Jesus is talking to the Pharisees and those that really have rejected him as a nation, the Jews themselves. And listen what he says to them with the idea of the urgency that we have in our Lord. In Matthew chapter 21, beginning in verse 42, Jesus said to them, "Have you never read the Scriptures? The stone the builders rejected has become the capstone. The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in His eyes. Therefore I tell you that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit." Now that is sort of a two-edged sword that we can listen to. Jesus is talking to the Jews that had everything given to them by God. He said, but you didn't use it. And so God's going to take the kingdom away from you and give it to somebody that does. He's going to bring it over to the Gentiles, to the nations. But you think about us. We have an urgency to do God's will, to take that message out. And what does He say? If you bear fruit, but if you don't bear fruit for me, if you're not doing what I command you to do, I'm going to take my kingdom and give it to somebody that will. We have an urgency to take the message and to take it to those who have not heard the message and to bring it to them. We don't know how long we will have that will be available to us to do. Look over to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews 3, he again is talking to the Jews, but here he's talking about those that came out of Egypt. He says, remember those that came out of Egypt? God had done great things for them. They had parted the Red Sea and they had walked through dry land. Miracle after miracle He had done for these people. And listen what He says to them in chapter 3 of Hebrews, beginning in verse 12. See to it, brothers, that none of you have a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. But encourage one another daily, as long as it is today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. What's He warning us? Today we have the availability. A day God is available to us. But if we don't use those opportunities, our heart becomes hardened. And it's easier to put it off again. If you ever had a chore that you knew you needed to do and you put it off, then it's easier to put it off the next day. It's even easier. And it's easier to put it off again. And pretty soon, it's not important to do that at all. We've hardened ourselves. And too often, we've hardened ourselves to take the message out to other people. And we need to think about the availability and the time that we have to do it. Now look over back to Isaiah and look at the next two verses that he says to us. Look at verses 7 through 9. It's actually three verses. Let the wicked forsake his ways and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and He will have mercy on him, and to our God, for He will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As the heaven are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. Now look at what he says. Too often we have the idea that Christianity is something we just go out and sell it to people. We can almost cram it down their throats if they don't want to accept it. But look at what he says. He says, first they have to seek the Lord, And then he says they have to repent. And he gives us maybe one of the best definitions of what repentance really means anywhere in the Bible. He says they must turn from their wicked ways and turn towards God. And that's really what repentance is all about. We know the things that we do in our lives that are wrong. And that's what he says in verse 7. Forsake your evil ways. We know what those are. We sometimes want to get around it and say, well, I'm just as good as somebody else, or I'm doing this and somebody else is doing that, and it's really not that bad. We get around it, but we know what things in our lives that we need to not be doing. And he says, quit doing those things, the evil things, and turn towards God. Turn to your God. That's what repentance means. Turning away from this world and turning to Christ. And that's what he says. And if you do that, you will be forgiven. And that's the other thing we have a hard time with, is forgiveness. Sometimes it's hard for us to forgive ourselves. We know things that we've done, and we keep sort of playing them over in our mind, things that we may have said to someone, or some things that we have done, and times we've fallen short. And we don't want to forgive ourselves sometimes. Or maybe someone has done something to us. We don't really want to forgive them. We sometimes say, well, if they don't ask for forgiveness, do I have to forgive them? And we come up with all ways to rationalize it. But listen what he says. If you turn to the Lord, he will abundantly forgive you your sins. God's forgiveness is total. It's without limit. He says we may not be able to understand it. And truly, sometimes we can't understand it. But he says, my thoughts aren't your thoughts. My ways are above your ways. I will forgive and forgive totally. So much, so totally is the forgiveness that God gives us, that he says, even the lawless act itself, I won't remember it anymore. Or take it out of the book of life. It will be clean. You have total and complete forgiveness when you come to the Lord. That may not be easy for us to understand, but that's the promise that Isaiah gives to us. But notice that promise is limited. He says, come to the Lord while he's available to us, while he's near to us. Because a time will come when you may no longer have the opportunity. Look over to James chapter 4. This is the final verse, or the final passage we're going to look at this morning. And this passage goes along with the idea of the urgency that we have. And when we read this passage, it's a passage most of us have heard before. But listen to what he says in this passage, in James chapter 4. Beginning in verse 13. It says, now listen, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go to this or that city, spend a year there and carry on business and make money. Why, you do not even know what will happen tomorrow. What is your life? You are a mist that appears for a little while and then vanishes. Instead, you ought to say, if it is the Lord's will, we will live and we will do this or that. As it is, you boast and brag. All such boasting is evil. Anyone then who knows the good that he ought to do and doesn't do it sins. How many more tomorrows do you have? Have you ever thought about how many more tomorrows you're going to have? So often we put things off to tomorrow. How many more of those tomorrows do you have? We know how much money we have in the bank, or maybe how much money we owe. We know the other things that we possess in life, but the most precious thing we have is time. How many more tomorrows do you have in the bank? See, we don't know that, do we? We don't know how many more we have. Over the holidays, we got out of some old movies, and we were watching some of them. And as I was watching one of them, I know some of you older people remember Robert Redford and Paul Newman. When I was growing up, they were sort of the big actors and the dashing kind of guys that made so many movies. And I watched one of the movies that had Redford and Newman in it, and you realize that Newman died a while back. And Robert Redford, if you've seen pictures of him, he's not so dashing as he was in some of his early movies. We all grow old and we all die. And we seem to want to just forget that. And so when you think about how many more tomorrows do you have? We don't know how many more tomorrows we have. And that's why it's so urgent that we do the Lord's will now. That's what James is saying. He says, you don't know what your life is. Your life could end today, this afternoon, or tomorrow, or 20 years from now. You don't know. So what are you doing? You should be doing God's will. We say that Jesus is Lord. But what do we do with that? Do we not do what he tells us to do when he tells us to do it? Or would you just put it off and say, well, my life will be better tomorrow? James says, you don't have tomorrow. That belongs to the Lord. You don't know how many more of those you even have. So if you know to do good, you better do it today. Because today you have. You don't have tomorrow. And so we need to be about the Lord's will now. In our lives now. Spreading the gospel. Taking it to those who need it. As we talked last week, there are certain people that you're in contact with, your friends, your neighbors, that you may be the only one that can take them the message of Jesus. That show them that he is relevant for their lives today. And if you don't do it, that door in their life that is open now may not be open tomorrow. And they may not have another opportunity. You may not have another opportunity to take them. So remember that there's an urgency, or should be an urgency in our lives, to take that gospel, to be doing God's will today. Not later on. If you look back to Hebrews, listen what he says to these people. It's very similar to what Christ says in Matthew, but listen what the Hebrew writer says. Look back to verse 7, before I read from verse 12. It says, so the Holy Spirit says, today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. During the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me, and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with them and said, their hearts are always going astray, and they have not known my ways. I declare on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. Now those are words we do not want to hear. For God to tell us, I will not allow you to enter my rest. These people had had the great blessings of God. They had come out of Egypt and they had seen the walls of the Red Sea parted. They had seen the great miracles that God did for them. Yet it says they hardened their hearts through unbelief. We need to make sure we don't allow our hearts to be hardened. That we stay soft. That we stay in tune with the Lord. That we understand there's an urgency to be sure that we obey the Lord today. And that we don't allow ourselves to be hardened. Five things in closing I'd like for you to think about this week. First, the need for Jesus, the relevancy for Jesus in our lives and in the lives of our friends and our neighbors is just as great today as it's always been. Some people will say, well, Jesus, he lived 2,000 years ago. What could he say to me today? The same questions that people have always had. The ideas of guilt and forgiveness, relevance in my life, purpose, significance, my hope for the future. All of these are found in Christ. But if you don't believe in Christ, there's only death. The wages of sin is death. We need to get that message that life is found only in Christ. Number two, God must be sought. We must seek our Lord while he may be found. Too often I don't think we think about the urgency that we should feel in our lives. Number three, to be forgiven, one must repent of their sins. You can't just hold on to your sins and hold on to the things in your life that you want to hold on to. If you're going to be forgiven for the Lord, you need to repent. You need to turn away from your evil deeds and turn towards the Lord. Number four, forgiveness is without limit. There is no limit to the Lord's abundant forgiveness. And I think there's maybe any other fact in the Bible that may be hard for us to really hold on to. It's that one. It doesn't matter what we've done, how many times we've failed, how many times we've denied our Lord, his forgiveness is complete if we turn back to him. If we repent and turn back to the Lord, he will abundantly forgive our sins. And last, we must serve the Lord while we have the opportunity. We cannot always put it off to tomorrow. Serve the Lord while he is near to you. This morning, think about the new year and think about what we're doing and feel that urgency to fulfill your role in God's kingdom today. If you're not in God's kingdom, why not join with the Lord? Unite your life with his through baptism so that you can wash away all that you've done to arise to walk a new life in him. Or if you've been one of his, but you really haven't been faithful, you haven't felt the urgency, you've allowed your heart to become callous, hardened, Why not come back to Him today and start living the type of life you know the Lord calls you to live? If you have need to come in any way, won't you come? Let's gather, we stand and sing.